If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter number 5. Follow with me this morning. The scriptures won't be on the screen. Other things will be. But we want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning from this thought, independence versus freedom. Independence versus freedom. Might sound like a contradiction there, but we'll talk about that a little bit more and get some clarity on it. One of my devotionals, Daily Wisdom for Men, writes this. He writes, take a minute and think of all the advertising campaigns and slogans that appeal to our selfishness. Think about that. How about have it your way? Huh? Have it your way. Or this one, just do it. Just do it. Do it for yourself. And then another one, obey your thirst. Whatever you want, whatever you're thirsty for, whatever you're hungry for, whatever you want to do, just do it. You're independent. You're free. Just do it. So you can probably think of others as well, but why do these advertisements work? Why do they stick in our brains and in our minds, and why does it cause us to want to buy or eat or drink those products? Because they appeal to our independence. They give us the illusion of freedom by saying that we should do whatever we want. And while these companies don't openly encourage us to sin, they do encourage us to act selfishly, which is a sin, right? But anyway, you know, that's what they encourage us to do. Now, Oswald Chambers once wrote this. He says, whenever God touches sin, when God convicts us of sin, and he hits that nerve in us where conviction comes, when God touches sin, it is independence that is touched, and that awakens resentment in the human heart. Think about that. And then independence must be blasted clean out, he says. There must be no such thing left, only freedom, which is very different. Freedom is the ability not to insist on my rights, but to see that God gets his. I like that. Freedom is the ability not to insist on my rights, but to see that God gets his. And then the devotional continues with this. When you became a believer, God gave you the Holy Spirit, but he did not remove our natural fleshly self, did he? That's still there. That's what we wrestle with. When you listen to your natural desires, you trade your freedom for something less than God's goodness. Stop listening to the ads that appeal to our selfishness, and we need to start listening to the God who knows what's best for us. God knows what's best for us, and if we'll follow his way, his will, his timing, we will truly be blessed. We'll be blessed. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, and the subtitle in the NIV says this, freedom in Christ. There is a freedom in Christ that is true freedom. Verse 1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And again, we just saw in the deal, the whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're going to close with that as well. But it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. God has freed us through Jesus from that slavery to sin. We no longer have to be a slave to it. It no longer has to be our master. And so he says, stand firm then, and don't let yourselves, underline that phrase, don't let yourselves. There's a choice there. We don't have to be enslaved anymore to sin. We don't have to cave to sin. We can be set free. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by that yoke of slavery to our fleshly desires. Let's skip down to verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. And it says this, you, my brothers, were called to be free. God's calling and what God has purchased, what Jesus purchased for us, is a calling to freedom. Freedom from all the junk, freedom from sin, freedom from fear, freedom from all the tools the enemy tries to use against us. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Paul put it this way. He says, You've been set free. You're at liberty. There's a liberty in Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. All these things about freedom, about liberty. But he says, don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. In other words, just because there is a freedom or a liberty to do something doesn't mean that you should do it. Liberty does not give us license to sin. You know, the word talks about that, about, so because of this freedom and whatever, so does that mean we can just do whatever we want? No. Paul says, God forbid. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. This liberty does not give you the license to live as you please. We have to serve the Lord and live as he wants us to live. So don't be burdened. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by that yoke of slavery that Christ has set us free from. And then he says, we rather than indulging the sinful nature, he says we need to serve one another in love. And then verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Jesus said there were two, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul brings it down because he's assuming that you already love God. So he says, love your neighbor as yourself. You already love God, but now you got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you do that, he says you're going to be good to go. Now let's skip down to verse number 16. The subtitle, again, in the NIV is Life by the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit last week, and the next couple of Sundays, we're going to be going a little bit further into delving into the Holy Spirit, what he means to us, and what the Lord wants him to do in our lives and in our churches. But this says, life by the Spirit, verse 16. So he says, I say, live by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Paul warned us earlier in verse 13, don't indulge, don't let this freedom cause you to indulge in the sinful nature. And so he says, if you live by the Spirit, if you're walking by the Spirit and in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature or your flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Paul said it in a different way, in a different portion of Scripture, in one of the letters that he wrote to the churches. He said, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things that I want to do and know I should do, I'm not doing those things. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who can set me free from this slavery to sin and to what the enemy would want me to do? And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the answer. He's the one that can set us free. And again, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So the flesh and the Spirit, it's that warfare daily that takes place in each one of us. And again, the choices that we make each and every day. But he says in the next verse, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, he says, then you're not under the law. You're set free. The law was impossible to keep. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why there's a new covenant. That's why Ezekiel prophesied about that, others as well, that there was going to come a day when there would be a covenant in the blood of the Messiah, that he would die for our sins and we would be set free. Because there were not just 10 commandments, as we know, but there were 613 commandments in Jewish law. Impossible to keep them. Most folks can't keep the 10, much less 613. It just can't be done. But he said, if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under that law. You're set free because of Jesus. And then he says in the next three verses, now here are the acts of the sinful nature or the flesh. This is what the devil will try to get you involved in. The acts of the sinful nature, those are obvious. And look what he leads off with, sexual immorality. We've talked about this before, where I believe it's a sin that is really, really grieves the heart of God, because we belong to him. Our bodies belong to the Lord. Amen? We've been bought with a price. And so he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, tops of the list. Impurity and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Even above above idolatry and witchcraft. He lists sexual immorality above that. Unbelievable. Then he says there's hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, so anger, selfish ambition. We talked about the selfishness of advertising, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's that doctrine going around of inclusion that says everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. God's not going to send anybody to hell. But it's very clear here that if we indulge in any of these things, and he says, and the like, anything like these things that are listed here, he said, I warn you that those who live like this, and that's a key word as well, live like this, we're all going to mess up from time to time. We're human. We're going to sin. We're going to fail God. We're going to fall short of his glory, right? That's why Jesus came. And so he says, but if you live like this, if it's a lifestyle, if you've committed yourself to living a lifestyle of sin, then you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. And so we need to understand that. But then he says in verse 22, here's the flip side. But contrary and in contrast to all of this, the fruit of the Spirit is, and here he comes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's why I've always said, if you offer me a church with people that are full of the fruit of the Spirit, or give me a church with people that are full and use the gifts of the Spirit, I'll take fruit over gifts any day. Because he didn't say you'll know them by their gifts. He said you know them by their fruit. Fruit is really important. Fruit is really important. I've seen gifts of the Spirit misused and creates issues. But the fruit, it's either there or it's not. The fruit is either real and genuine or it's not. It's either ripe or it's rotten. If it's ripe, it tastes great. If it's rotten, you're going to throw it away. But you know the person, the tree, by the fruit. And these things, he says, if these things are in your life, and the Holy Spirit is moving in that way in your life, against such things, there's no law. Then he says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Paul said, I die daily. He says, every day I die to what I want and I live to what God wants with my life. Every single day. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Jesus says, you've got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross every day and you got to follow me. If we do those things, we're going to be good to go. Those who belong to Jesus, we've got to crucify that flesh. We got to just take it out with all of its passions and desires. Then he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that. It's what we really have to do. We've got to stay in tune and in touch and in step with the Holy Spirit every single day, every single day. And so this chapter is just so important to us. The Daily Walk, another devotional that I really love, adds this. There's a popular concept of freedom today that goes something like this. I'm free to do whatever I please. I'm free to do whatever I please. I can do whatever I want. You know, an old saying back in the 70s, if it feels good, do it. Just whatever. You know, just your own, do your thing. This is a freedom, however, without restraints. No law, no authority, no responsibility. And ironically, it's a freedom that leads to bondage. Think about that. If you do whatever you want, whenever you want, yeah, there's a freedom there, you think, but it leads you to a place of bondage because the devil will wrap you up in some of those things that we just read about. There's not only the fruit of the Spirit, but we read about the fruit of the flesh. And you don't want to be involved in that. It leads to nothing but bondage. Why? Why is that? Because such freedom is not liberty at all, but it's slavery to the desires of your sinful nature or your flesh. That kind of freedom of the flesh will only lead to deeds of the flesh. And we just read about all that, you know, the deeds of the flesh, verses 19 through 21. It's all listed right there. However, by contrast to that, the biblical view of freedom is described in Galatians 5:1, which we just read. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he says, one who is a Christian has been set free from bondage and obligation to sin. We're no longer obligated to serve the devil. We're no longer obligated to serve a life or live a life of sin. We're not obligated to do that because we have the choice. We have the choice to do whatever. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, as we just read, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. The result of such genuine spiritual freedom is genuine spiritual fruit that we also just read about in those other three verses about the fruit of the Spirit. So he concludes with this: exercise your Christian liberty, your Christian freedom today. You have the freedom to say no as well as yes to the works of the flesh, but also to the urgings of the Spirit. We can say yes to God, or we can say no to God. We can say yes to the devil, we can say no to the devil. But what are we going to do? Which will it be? Are we going to serve the Lord, or are we going to serve the flesh? It's up to us. And so a question is, are you living in freedom today? Or are you really free? And remember that if you are, then who the Son sets free is free indeed.